Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. Our guest right now is a returning guest, Dr. Paul Kanger, a best-selling author, also a columnist, and a professor of both history and political science at Grove City College. Recently, he's written an article called Bernie Loses His Billionaire Best Friend and Possibly His Path to the Nomination. Now, let me timestamp this discussion. This is being recorded on the afternoon of March 5th in the year of our Lord, 2020. And I say this because it's a couple days after Super Tuesday, or as Biden would put it, Super Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't right. But anyway, I say that because Biden is doing better at this present time than Bernie Sanders. And possibly by the time this airs, he will have eclipsed Bernie Sanders. We don't know. I mean, completely eclipsed him. But I just want to timestamp this discussion. Paul, welcome to the program, and welcome back, I should say, and tell us about your new column about Bernie Sanders and how Bloomberg actually was an indirect help to the Bernie Sanders campaign. I'll just shut up and listen to you wax eloquent.
Well, that's right, Jerry. Yeah, and so I think that what's happened now with Mike Bloomberg dropping out of the race, I mean, if you go through and you look at all the numbers over the last few weeks, the weeks prior to Super Tuesday, and then including on Super Tuesday as well, not in every state, some states Biden won overwhelmingly, but basically the sort of moderate, non-Bernie, non-socialist vote, especially once Pete Buttigieg and Klobuchar both dropped out of the race, it was being split almost evenly between Biden and Bloomberg. And so with Bloomberg dropping out of the race, what used to be about 15% and 15% for the two of them is now going about 30% full Biden. And you know, that's enough for, you know, Bernie was getting 25, 30% state to state, some states more than that. But with Bloomberg dropping out, that's all that Biden needs now in order to have more votes than Bernie, and I think he now has a path straight to the nomination.
Now, the irony of all this is that Bernie Sanders has no love of billionaires and even said as such.
That's right. Yeah, that's the irony of it. He was on stage with Bloomberg, you know, just a couple weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago in Las Vegas, and you're snarling at him, grimacing at him, growling at him. You know, he represents the absolute worst of Bernie's world, right? A capitalist reptile, as an old Trotskyist might denounce him. And so of all things, this billionaire who we despise mainly because he's a billionaire, I mean, that's what Bernie's all about. These old Marxists are all about class warfare and class envy. You know, if he only realized that billionaire Bloomberg was basically keeping Bernie in the race. And, you know, he should have been, instead of calling him names and denouncing him, he should have gone over and given him a hug and convinced him to try to stay in the race, because, you know, otherwise he's cooked. He's toast.
Okay, explain, since you are really an historian on communism and the communist ways and so forth, I think it's important for people to know and to have an understanding of just how menacing the communist threat in the 20th century was, and therefore how bad it is to have somebody like Bernie Sanders basically say, you know, well, Castro was good because he introduced, you know, literacy programs. Now, he was authoritarian, and I don't agree with authoritarianism, whether it's in Cuba or China or wherever. But, you know, I mean, it's like you could probably find apologies for Adolf Hitler. Well, the trains ran on time or something like that.
Right,
Autobahn,
yeah.
Good idea, you know.
Right. Well, and also, too, I mean, Bernie, so I'll tie this directly to those, that kind of, that trio, that troika of murderers that launched the Soviet Union. That was Lenin, Stalin, and Trotsky. And Bernie's old party, we've never found proof that he was a member of it, but he absolutely supported it, campaigned for it, served as a presidential elector to it in 1980, 1984.
Bernie Sanders
did. Socialist Workers Party.
Bernie Sanders was a communist. Was he ever a card-carrying member of the Communist Party?
Not that we know of. And a lot of people throughout the history of Communist Party USA, you know, a lot of Americans who were communists, small-c communists, didn't want to join Communist Party USA because they didn't want to be under what they called party discipline, right? I mean, the really, really hardcore joined CPUSA. That was people like Barack Obama's mentor, Frank Marshall Davis.
Yes.
Every single member of the Hollywood 10, all of the members of the Hollywood 10, these were not innocent progressives, right? Dalton Trumbo, John Howard Lawson, Albert Maltz, all the rest of them, those guys were all actual CPUSA members. Obama's mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, his Communist Party USA number was 47544. So a lot of, and Communist Party USA probably had never more than 50 to 100,000 members at its very peak. Even today, it only has about 3,000 members. That's according to its own numbers. But there's a lot of people who are communists who still yeah. support the ideology. And that's true with socialists as well, with Trotskyists. And so Bernie never had to actually join the Socialist Workers' Party, but he supported it, right? And even served as a formal presidential elector to it. And to be clear, the Socialist Workers' Party of the United States is a communist party. They were created in 1928 when Trotsky was forcibly exiled from the Soviet Union by Stalin. And they formed the Socialist Workers' Party. They published The Militant. That's their publication. And you know, that was Bernie. That was the party that Bernie supported. And for the record, Bernie was never a Democrat either. Bernie was an independent. That's what Bernie was.
Wow. You know, what's amazing to me, and I've mentioned something like this, but I saw this today on television real briefly. De Blasio, Mayor de Blasio, was like, we don't want to need to hear about history. Well, who cares about, old history, the Cold War? Who cares about that? What we need to know about, will there be jobs for Americans today? Will there be health care? That's the number one issue. And so by saying that, he suddenly, you know, says, don't listen to the Kangers of the world. You know, yeah, there might be some history there. Who cares? Let's move forward and have jobs and wealth, you know, health care for everybody.
Well, they wouldn't be saying that, Jerry, if they were talking about people on the right who in their past had support for some far right party, right? The alt-right. I don't even like calling these guys right wing, but the left does, right? The Nazis, the neo-Nazis.
The National Socialist Party of Germany. But right. Yeah, go on.
That's right. National Socialist German Workers' Party.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were closer to the communists, certainly, than they were to, you know, modern-day free market American conservatives. But de Blasio is saying that because of his own past. De Blasio actually supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And how much so? Well, this is amazing. But in the 1980s, a young de Blasio actually sold subscriptions to the Sandinistas newspaper. It was called Barracuda. And the Sandinistas were pals of Fidel Castro in Cuba. So de Blasio doesn't want us talking about any of that stuff because he's got some pretty nasty skeletons in his closet as well.
You know, Paul, I've got to commend you. You are a very clever writer. I have never before seen in print, nor has it even entered my mind until I saw it in your article. And this is in the American Spectator. We'll link to it right here, on this little post for this radio segment. But you used the phrase, or coined the phrase, I guess, or maybe it's not original with you, but it's Sandernistas. In other words, Bernie Sanders. I thought that was very clever.
Yeah, but, I've seen it somewhere before.
Oh, you have? Okay, so well, all right. For those,
I can't take credit for it.
For those historically illiterate, explain who were the Sandinistas and why should we care today? This is modern time, says de Blasio.
Right, yeah. So the Sandinistas, that was the party in Nicaragua in the late 1970s who, one of the great legacies of Jimmy Carter, they
indirectly
took over Nicaragua.
Right.
Yeah.
More indirectly. I mean, I don't think Carter intended what to happen. I mean, same thing with Iran, you know, with
right.
the removal of the Shah, you know, he didn't intend for the revolution to unleash, but he did certainly indirectly unleash it.
Well, and this is an important thing about the left, including, you know, presidents like Jimmy Carter, who aren't radical left, but, you know, more moderate left, is that they'll see somebody like an Anastasio Somoza in Nicaragua, or a Batista in Cuba, or the Shah in Iran, who were all, you know, none of which were communists. They were all pro-United States. You know, none of them were great guys. They were all repressive, but not nearly as repressive as what succeeded them. And they're willing to let these guys go, and they get taken over by somebody who's far worse. The Sandinistas in Nicaragua, the Ayatollah in Tehran, the Cuba with Fidel Castro. I mean, Batista never repressed people like the Castro brothers did. And so this is something that they're guilty of all the time, and it's something you always got to be wary of with a Democratic president. You know, they're totally willing to abandon a U.S. ally who they'll label as a right-wing dictator and instead go with some left-wing communist dictator instead of being in power for a few years, like a Pinochet in Chile, ends up in power for over 60 years, like the Castros in Cuba.
All right, now, going back to the top story here, Mike Bloomberg has dropped out of the race, and that's bad news for Bernie Sanders, you say. Explain, just flesh that out a little bit more. And by the way, Michael Bloomberg spent about $500 million for his short-lived campaign. I don't think that was money well spent, but go on.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. $500 million to win not a single state. And
well, he won American Samoa.
Yeah. But there was Bernie crowing and complaining about this billionaire buying his way into the race. And if Bernie could stop now and pause amid his class hatred, and that's what these old Trotskyists and communists and socialists are consumed by, is class hatred. If he could sit back and cool off a little bit, he'd stop and look and say, wow, old billionaire Mike was taking 15 to 20% from Joe in every single state. That's what was giving me state after state, and now with Bloomberg out, this is probably going to be the nail in the coffin for the Sanders campaign, because it's now going to be basically one on one, right? Pretty much Bloomberg and Sanders the whole way. I guess maybe Elizabeth Warren is going to stay in this for a little bit.
And oh no, of this recording, she has dropped out.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, just an hour ago or whatever. So it's breaking news. We have just a couple minutes left to go, but how about a quick comment about Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin? And here's why I bring this up. Sometimes some people give you the idea that, you know, Lenin and, you know, they initiated this move in Russia, and in Russia you had the vast majority of the peasants, and then the Tsar was living high off the hog at the expense of the peasants. So to, you know, justify or to rectify all these injustices, Lenin and the Bolsheviks, they have this revolution. But then Stalin comes along, you know, after Lenin died, and he's the one who got the whole thing off the rails. But it's my understanding that Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin, they were all men of violence and, you know, cracked as many skulls as they could to get their, you know, to win their way.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, for a time in academia, there was what they called the good Lenin, bad Stalin myth, right? That if only Lenin had lived, you wouldn't have had all that happened in the 1930s, 1940s. But Lenin was the one who started the concentration camp system, the Gulag. Oof. In fact, he actually used the word concentration camp. He's the guy that did single party control, implemented the Communist Party, banned all other parties, private property, on and on and on and on. And he killed 500,000 people. Wow. In just several years before he died in January 1924. And also, too, if you look at his writings, what he actually put in print, he was far more vicious than Stalin was. So Lenin was bad, and Trotsky was too. Trotsky absolutely advocated violence. So all three of these guys were thugs, and it's no surprise that they put in place a system, a regime, that would take the lives of multiple tens of millions of people over the next 30 to 40 years.
Wow. Dr. Paul Kanger, thank you always for your great insights. All the best.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye.